Well, hey, welcome to Beach Baptism Day. Like Missy said, there's still room in the ocean. There's still room on the beach, too. If you've already been baptized and you just want to come see other people get baptized, they have plenty of space. Come on out to Seabright Beach right after this. Thanks. If you have not been baptized since coming to faith in Christ, you will have an opportunity to do that today. You were thinking, that wasn't in my plan for what I was doing today. Don't worry, it was in God's plan, and you will have the opportunity to do that. Some of you may know my history, some of you don't know my history, but I was actually baptized as an infant in the Lutheran church. My mom grew up Lutheran, and it was important for her children to be baptized in the church where she grew up. So when I was, I think, a few months old, I was baptized, getting sprinkled on the head. I assume that people prayed for me. They probably pledged to raise me in a church setting, which happened, at least intermittently. But when I got to college and I began studying my faith more in depth, I came to the conclusion that I needed to be baptized post-conversion to Christ, and I was. I think that was either my sophomore or my junior year of college. So this morning, I want to tell you how I came to that conclusion, what verses of Scripture were useful to me, helpful to me in my journey, and some of the hurdles that I needed to navigate, because I did not want to get baptized as an adult. I did not come very willingly to that conclusion. But eventually I did. So our text this morning is Romans 6, 3 and 4. We're also going to be in Colossians 2. You have both of those in your bulletin insert. They'll be up on the screen as well. But Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Even if you don't have very much exposure to Christianity, you have likely heard of baptism before. Maybe you had a niece or a cousin that was christened. You might have even received an invitation to a baptism ceremony at some point. So most likely, this isn't the first time you heard this word. But some of us still have questions about what it is and why in the world Christians do it. So what is baptism? Baptism is a symbol of what has already happened in your heart if you have placed your trust in Jesus. Christians believe that Jesus died for our sins, that when he was on the cross, he paid the debt we owe for what we have done. So the penalty of our sin is taken away. Now that we are freed from the penalty of sin, we live a new life of gratitude toward God because he paid the ultimate price that we owe. Baptism is a display of that process. Look at these verses. Baptized into Christ's death. That's going into the water, symbolically showing a death has happened. And we go into the water in order that, verse 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might raise and walk in newness of life, which is symbolized by coming out of the water. Have you ever known people who met Jesus, and as a result, you can visibly see a transformation in their lives? Let's hope that you actually have many stories of people that you have known like that. I'll give you just one of my stories of somebody that I have seen. As a campus minister at Georgia Tech, which is where I was before I was out here at Bridges, we would hang out with a street ministry once per month. And many of the people working in the ministry were participating in their recovery program. They would come in off the street into the recovery program, and they would pledge to stay in the program for a year, and then during that year, they would live and work in the ministry. So there was this one guy, Nick. When he first came into the program, when he first came in off the street, he was bitter, He was insubordinate, negative. He seemed to have the attitude of, I don't want to be here. He seemed to hate life. He had just so much anger and resentment toward the world, and he was taking it out on everyone. So I saw him a couple of times early on in his year. Again, we just volunteered once a month, so I didn't see him every day. And then I didn't see him for a few months when we went to volunteer. And I thought, yeah, did he bail on the program? Did he drop out? I wonder what's going on with that guy. And then I saw him again. And he was practically glowing. It looked like he was just walking on air. He was glad to help, glad to serve. He was encouraging everyone around him. So I just asked him, like, what in the world, man? Like, I don't even know if you're the same person that I met a few months ago. Do you have a twin? Are you even Nick? And he laughed. He's like, yeah, I'm Nick. What happened, Nick? Jesus happened, is what he said. Jesus got a hold of me. Jesus rescued me. We can understand that kind of story, especially if we have ever had something similar to have happened to us. Many of us have probably not lived on the street. Some of us maybe have. But all of us here, if we are Christians, if we call ourselves Christians, we can tell the story. I was living in darkness and death, and then I met Jesus. And now I have light and hope. Can anyone relate to that? Baptism is the visual metaphor. It is the display of that, of God doing that in your life. Something within me died, and it was the part of me that was dark and lifeless anyway. So it was a good thing that it died. It joined Christ in his death. But something new came to life within me in Christ's resurrection. Hope and goodness, forgiveness and freedom. Baptism displays that. In Colossians 2:12, Paul says it like this, which is the other verse on your sheet. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith, in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you became a Christian, there is a sense in which you should feel like you rose from the dead. And then we display that through baptism. Now, if you're someone like me and you were baptized as an infant and you say, I don't need to get baptized again as a believer, the first thing I would say to you is praise God there were people in your life when you were young who cared about you enough to direct your life toward God in some small way. Whoever had you baptized, they thought, I mean, to some extent, maybe a big extent, maybe a small extent, but to some degree, they wanted you to have a connection point to Christian faith, and praise God for that. There was a ceremony, people prayed for you. They probably prayed something along the lines of one day you would understand your guilt before God and you'd ask Jesus to take your sins away. That probably happened, and that is fantastic. That comes from such a pure motive. Like, we should pray for every baby like that, right? Who knows? Those prayers, if people prayed that for you, might be why you are sitting here today. And praise God for that. I'm grateful for that experience in my life. What I came to realize when I was in college after reading these two verses or these two sets of verses over and over again, because it didn't click with me right away, as meaningful and as wonderful as it was that my parents had that ceremony for me, now, as a follower of Christ, I needed to do something more than that. My baptism ceremony when I was an infant, it did not. It could not display my conversion to Christ because I hadn't been converted to Christ as a little baby. And after reading these verses over and over again, because, you know, I wasn't convinced right away, I eventually had to admit to myself that one point of baptism, there could be more, but one point of baptism is to display that this event had happened inside of me. Something in me died. Something new rose to life. And a point of baptism is to illustrate that process to the world around us. Since that hadn't happened in my life when I was little, how could it be displayed? Like, why act out something for others to see that hasn't happened yet? Like Nick, who I mentioned to you earlier, if he had participated in a baptism ceremony before this dramatic event happened in his life, what would he be trying to show or accomplish by doing it? What would baptism even mean? Like, he wouldn't be trying to show that death and resurrection had happened in his life because it hadn't happened. He would be trying to accomplish something else if he were getting baptized before his conversion to Christ. Now, there are plenty of people who do that, of course. There are plenty of Christian traditions that baptize people before they have this death and resurrection experience. It turns out there's about three reasons that people think they need to get baptized before converting to Christ. So one, they think that it washes away original sin. This is the Catholic view. We were born with or we inherit sin, and to help us prepare to find Christ later on, we need to be washed through baptism. That's one reason. Second reason, too, for initiation into the covenant community. This is primarily the Presbyterian view, although others claim it as well. Baptism is essentially equivalent to circumcision in the Old Testament. It means you are marked as part of God's people. It means you are in a community that has pledged to do all it can to help point you to Jesus. Third reason, some churches baptize before someone comes to faith. It's because they believe baptism is a means through which God's Spirit begins to work in your life. This is the primary view of Lutherans and Methodists, although they have additional reasons. So one, washes away original sin. Two, makes you part of a covenant community. Three, is a means through which God's Spirit begins to work in your life. Now, those are the big reasons. In my story, again, as I'm wrestling through these issues as a college student, I couldn't find baptism described in those ways in Scripture. Washes away original sin. Well, the removal of sin and the resurrection to new life happens with faith. Colossians 2:12, this is on your sheet. You were also raised up with him through faith. Ephesians 2:8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith in Jesus' work on the cross to forgive you of your sins is what washes sins away. And I didn't have that faith when I was a couple of months old. The baptism itself doesn't take away sins. The baptism shows what has already happened through faith. So what about this idea of becoming part of the covenant community? Baptism initiates you into the covenant community. First, I pray every kid is part of a covenant community, a group of people who pledges, we are going to do all we can to show you Jesus. And by the way, I love how our particular community points kids to Jesus. There's Kathy, Marcy, Alba. They are the coolest people in the world in my kids' eyes, and I thank them for that. Most of our babysitters for our kids come from church. Our family hangs out with other families. We all have similar mindsets of what we hope our kids will find when it comes to faith. We discuss this together as a group. We all try to help each other point our kids in that direction. Like, all of that is awesome and wonderful and needed. Like, hallelujah. And I wish every single kid in the world could be part of a community like that, right? I just don't see that group or initiation into that group described as baptism in Scripture. Like, you're outside of the covenant community when you're born, and then you're brought into that covenant community, and the means for you to switch from outside to inside is baptism? I couldn't find that anywhere. Again, like, I want that to happen. I want a community to pledge to the kid, we're going to be there for you. That's an awesome thing. I just can't call it baptism. So third major reason. Baptism is a means through which God's Spirit begins to work in your life. This is what Martin Luther thought. Martin Luther is the priest and monk from the 1500s who challenged the Catholic Church and changed the world. He's my hero. I'm a theology nerd, all right? I'm a preacher. What else would you expect, right? Luther said that he always remembered his baptism, which wasn't actually true because he was a little baby when he was baptized. But what he meant by that was that his baptism way back when was still having an effect on his life now. In his mind, the reason why he grasped faith so well later was partially because of his baptism when he was an infant. And if him and I were having a conversation, I would ask him as respectfully as I could, because again, he's my hero. He might understand grace better than any other person in the history of the church. So I'd ask, you know, like Luther, Dr. Luther, sir, right? You are risking your life. You're standing up to these cardinals and bishops and you're telling them what they're teaching is not in the Bible. Thank you. You have come to this true faith that we are forgiven by what Christ has done alone and not by what we do. Like, thank you for bringing that back into the world that had been buried for a while, right? But you credit that understanding that you've come to, you credit that partially to the fact that God began to work in your life when you were baptized? That's right, he might say. Okay, so then this is my question, Dr. Luther. The cardinals and bishops you are arguing against who have missed this whole grace thing, they were baptized too. So if it's because you were baptized that you're having these insights, wouldn't God's Spirit be working in them to show them the same things that he's showing you? Like, why was your baptism effectual and theirs not? He'd have a great answer. He did have a great answer. It would be, in addition to baptism, you need to pick up faith yourself. It's not the baptism that actually did it. It's God's Spirit and you submitting to God's Spirit working in you that does the real work. And I'd say, I agree. That is what happens. It is God's Spirit working in you that changes you. So Dr. Luther, then, wouldn't it make more sense to have baptism show that the Spirit has worked instead of baptism showing that the Spirit might work in the future? Especially since that's what these verses seem to say on our cards this morning. It's baptized into his death, raised to new life through faith. I'd ask him, Dr. Luther, like, you don't believe that when you were baptized, you don't believe that when you were baptized, that is when you were connected to Jesus' death and raised to new life, right? Like, when you were an infant, that's not when you were baptized into his death and raised to new life, right? And he didn't. He didn't believe that. He did not believe infant baptism is when forgiveness of sins happened, when justification happened. He had this big slogan, justification is by faith alone, which didn't happen when he was an infant. So if your death to old life, resurrection to new life, didn't happen when you were an infant, why should your baptism happen then? He'd probably have a great answer for that as well. I just don't know what it is. He didn't write it down. I might agree with him if we were having an argument, but he's not here, so this is where I am. Those are the three major reasons some Christian traditions baptize infants. And as wonderful as they are, like, I couldn't find them happening in Scripture. But actually, those three major reasons weren't my reason for supporting the practice of infant baptism. My reason was much more personal. You might have a similar story. I supported infant baptism primarily because Mama said infants should be baptized. That was my real hang-up. Right, Mama said babies are supposed to be baptized, and who am I to go against Mama, right? But as much as I wanted Scripture to say Mama knows best when it comes to paedobaptism versus credobaptism, I couldn't find that in there either. So this whole process of wrestling and questioning took me about a year, I think, but I concluded I needed to get baptized as a believer and follower of Jesus to display to others the process that had happened in me. Now, after coming to that conclusion, I needed to tell Mom. And that was the big hurdle. So here's how I approached that conversation. Mom, thank you for getting me baptized when I was little. You guys prayed for me. Right? I'm sure that has helped me every day of my life. You wanted God's Spirit to begin working in me, and he did. He answered your prayers. Like, looking back, there's not really an explanation other than God has hung on to me through all of my wanderings. So thank you. You did a great thing by praying for me and wanting God to begin working in my life. And now, as a believer, I need to display what God has done in my life in the way God instructs us to display it, which is baptism. Now, I had actually confessed my faith publicly before getting baptized. I was confirmed in the Methodist Church, I think, in middle school. So I had said with words what God had done in my life in front of a whole congregation, but I hadn't acted it out. I hadn't put it on display through the means which God has given us to display it. And as far as I could tell, I needed to. So I explained all that to Mom. She was receptive because Mom's awesome. And you know the cool thing? This was a bit of a surprise to me. Mom got baptized too. I'm not saying that's how it will go with your mama. If you're in a similar position to where I was, that may not happen. But that's how it went for me. All right, so let's talk about you. Are you a follower of Christ? Have you trusted him to take your sins away through his death on the cross? Are you walking in the new life that he gave you through his resurrection? Then it's time to display what he has done in you through the means which he instructed us to display it by getting baptized. Now, if you're here today and you're thinking about getting baptized, here are some wrong reasons to get baptized. Like if you come up at the end of the service and say, I want to get baptized, I'll say, great, why? And I will ask you why. I might be nicer than that, though. If you give one of these reasons, I will not baptize you. So here are some wrong reasons to get baptized. One, because it's what Bridges teaches and you want to be a member of Bridges. That's a bad reason. Don't get baptized for that reason. Two, because you can't think of a specific reason of what I said is wrong. You feel like you just lost an argument. So you guess you just have to get baptized. Don't get baptized for that reason. Three, because you want a blessing from God and you think baptism is some kind of hex that will twist God's arm into granting you favor. It won't. Baptism shows what has already happened in your heart. It's a display of what God has done. It's not a way to twist his arm to get him to do something else. The reason to get baptized is because you are a follower of Jesus. You have trusted him to take your sins away. You are walking in the new life he has given you. And you want to display his work in you to the world. And if that's you, then we'd love to baptize you today. If you didn't bring clothes that can get wet, we got you covered. We have some clothes you can change into, and then you just keep them afterwards. We don't actually want them back at all. Seriously, there is no reason you should wait. The New Testament has no examples of people waiting after belief to get baptized. They received Jesus, they got baptized. That can be you today. is talk to us after the service and then come on out to the beach. If for some reason your schedule is already booked and there's something you can't get out of and you're like, but I really know I need to get baptized, we can get you set up next week or the week after that. Just come talk to us. There's no reason to delay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for saving us. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for sending Jesus here that he may die for our sins, Lord. We pray that all of us would trust in Jesus' work in the cross to forgive us of our sins, and then we pray that we would happily want, be eager to display what he has done in our lives to the world through baptism. Help us desire to show this death and resurrection that has happened in our lives to others around us, and help us to want to do it through the means you gave us to do it, which is baptism. For anybody's heart who's still wavering, what should I do? I pray that you would give them confidence and security of the path that you want them to take. We ask all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.